This divine grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki jai. Is confirmed that Acharya His divine grace Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Nitavila Pravishtam Vishnupal Paramahamsa Parivrayaka Acharya Sarasata Sri Srimad. His divine grace Srila Bhaktivedanta Sarasati Thakur Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Sri Gaura Nitai Chandra ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Chama Sundara ki jai. Sri Sri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Gaura Premanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 3, The Birth of Lord Krishna, Text Number 14. Saiva Swaprakritedam Srishtagre Trigunatmakam Tadanutam Hiya Pravishtaha Pravishta Iva Bhavyase Saiva Swaprakritedam Srishtagre Trigunatmakam Tadanutam Hiya Pravishtaha Pravishta Iva Bhavyase Saiva Swaprakritedam Srishtagre Trigunatmakam Tadanutam Hi Pravishtaya Pravishta Iva Bhavyase. Saiva Swaprakritedam Srishtagre Trigunatmakam Tadanutam Habravishtaha Pravishta Iva Bhavyase Saiva Swaprakritedam Srishtagre Trigunatmakam Tamanutam Pravishta Pravishta Iva Bhavyase Saha, He, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Eva, indeed. Swaprakritya, by your personal energy. Madhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Idam, this material world. Shristva, after creating, Agre, in the beginning, Trigunatmakam, made of the three modes of energy, Sattva, Rajas, Tamagun, Tat Anu, thereafter, Tum, your lordship, He, indeed, Apravishtaha, although you did not enter, Pravishta Iva, you appear to have entered. Bhavyase, are so understood. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. My Lord, you are the person, you are the same person who in the beginning created this material world by his personal external energy. After the creation of this world of three gunas, Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas, you appear to have entered it. Although, in fact, you have not. Please repeat. My Lord, you are the same person who in the beginning created this material world by his personal external energy. After the creation of this world of three gunas, Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas, you appear to have entered it. Although, in fact, you have not. Purport in Bhagavad Gita 7.4.5. 4, the Supreme Personality of Godhead clearly explains, Bhumirapo nalo vayu kanmano buddhirevacha ahamkara iti yanne vinna prakriti rashtatha. This material world of the three modes of nature, Sattva-guna, Rajaguna, and Tamaguna, is a composition of earth, water, fire, air, mind, intelligence, and false ego, all of which are energies coming from Krishna. Yet Krishna, being always transcendental, is aloof from this material world. Those who are not in pure knowledge think that Krishna is a product of matter, and that his body is material, just like ours. Abhajantimam mudha. In fact, however, Krishna is always aloof from this material world. In the Vedic literature, we find the creation described in relationship to Mahavishnu, as is stated in the Brahma Samhita 5.35. Please all together. Eko pyaso rachayitum jagadanda kotim yakshaktirasti jagadanda chayadadanta andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam govindamadi purusham kamaham bhajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, the original personality of Godhead, by his partial planetary expansion as Mahavishnu. He enters into material nature. Then he enters every universe as Garbhalakshaya Vishnu. And he enters all elements, including every atom of matter, as Shivalakshaya Vishnu. Such manifestations of cosmic creation are innumerable, both in the universes and in the individual atoms. Govinda is partially exhibited as Antaryami, the Supersoul, who enters this material world, Andantarastha, and who is also within the atom. The Brahma Samhita 5.48 further says, again together, Yasyaika nishvasita kalamatavalangya jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanatha Vishnur Mahansa Ivayasya Kala Vishesha Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. This verse describes Mahavishnu as the planetary expansion of Krishna. Mahavishnu lies in the causal ocean, and when he exhales, millions of brahmandas or universes come from the pores of his body. Then, when Mahavishnu inhales, all these brahmandas disappear. Thus, the millions of brahmandas controlled by the brahmas and other demigods come and go in this material world through the breathing of Mahavishnu. Can somebody get Keshava to fix this, please? Foolish person think that when Krishna appears as the son of Vasudeva, he is limited like an ordinary child. But Vasudeva was aware that although the Lord had appeared as his son, the Lord had not entered back his womb and then come out. Rather, the Lord was always there. The Supreme Lord is all-pervading, present within and without. Pravishta iva bhavyase. He only seemed to have entered the womb of Devaki and to have now appeared as Vasudeva's child. The expression of this knowledge by Vasudeva indicates that Vasudeva knew how this event took place. Vasudeva was certainly a devotee of the Lord in full knowledge, and we must learn from devotees like him. Bhagavad Gita 4.34 therefore recommends, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatodarshina. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Vasudeva begot the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet he was in full knowledge of how the Supreme Lord appears and disappears. He was therefore Tattva-darshi, a seer of the truth, because he personally saw how the Supreme Absolute Truth appeared as his son. Vasudeva was not in ignorance, thinking that because the Supreme Godhead had appeared as his son, the Lord had become limited. The Lord is unlimitedly existent and all-pervading, inside and outside. Thus, there is no question of his appearance or disappearance. Omaginati mirandasya ginanjana shlakaya shaksuru militanjena tasmai sri gurave namah. Saiva swaprakite vyam srishtagre trigunatmakum padanutam hi pravishta iva bhavyase. So this is the continuation of Vasudeva's prayers to Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada loaded this purport with so much meaning. The first thing here that Prabhupada explains is that this material world is actually a manifestation of Krishna's energy. When Prabhupada quotes this verse on the Brahma Samhita, Ekopya Sora Charitum Jagadanda Kotim, Prabhupada translates it slightly different from the way that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur translates it. But the meaning is the same. In the translation that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives to this verse, he said that Krishna is non-differentiated. Krishna's identity and Krishna's energies are always together. And in fact, he said that the Krishna who possesses the energies is none different from the energies themselves in that sense. And when Krishna creates his material universes, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, that energy is not separated from Krishna. They're together. Energy and the energetic. And not only Prabhupada explains in this purport that the creation starts with Mahavishnu, but it also goes at different levels. Mahavishnu is the first Vishnu expansion in the material world, in the cosmic material manifestation. So Mahavishnu is the first one who enters the Mahatattva and then gives life to the Mahatattva. And then the next expansions are the universes, each and every universe coming out of his pores, out of his nostrils, when he breathes. And those universes are permeated by Garbhakasaya Vishnu to give life to the universe. And then still to a further, more detailed level of existence is the atoms. And then that's Shidrakasaya Vishnu, who actually enters every atom. Srila Prabhupada explains further a little bit in detail in his book, His Journey to Other Planets, that each and every atom in the universe actually has got, why is it active? Just like if you go to school and you study chemistry, they tell you the atom somehow or other there is energy that is moving. Prabhupada explains in that booklet that it's actually the presence of Shidrakasaya Vishnu. Otherwise, why would it move? Nobody can explain why the atoms are in constant movement. And so, it is by this movement of the different atoms that molecules can be formed. And by the different molecules that other higher level of matter can be manifested all the way to trees, human beings, planets, galaxies. So, the foundation and the substance of all existence is all rests on Vishnu, Mahavishnu, Garbhakasaya Vishnu, Shivrakasaya Vishnu. And it's in this sense that the constant presence of these three Vishnus is that manifests the world. And it's in this sense that the energy and the energetic cannot exist separate, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was saying. Now, Krishna also explains in the Bhagavad Gita that it is actually through a single fragment of Krishna's potency that this cosmic manifestation is manifested, that each and every universe is just a tiny little fraction of Krishna's own identity. Because the actual Krishna, the original Krishna, I should say, as it is said in the language of the of the Brahma Samhita, the original candle, the original Krishna, is actually in Vrindavan. So all these different manifestations that we see in this world, like this present universe in which we're in, it's just a single fragment of the Lord that is actually manifesting all this creation. And also Krishna explains in the Gita that it is out of his splendor that everything that's splendorous in this world is manifested. Krishna's tiny little spark of his splendor, and all this splendor of beautiful creation in this world is manifested. And this can be perceived by anyone, even by non-devotees. The non-devotees, they also perceive beauty in this world, just like the devotees. We know that the beauty manifested in this world is connected to Krishna's beauty. But this is something that even the hard-hardened, materialistic person can actually appreciate. They can see beauty manifested in nature, in a flower. They can see beauty manifested in the countryside, a nice forest, beautiful streams, trees, lakes, oceans, beaches. You find beauty all over the world, all over the place. And even when you are glancing at, you know, great manifestations in the cosmos, even the scientists who are so-called diehard atheists, many of them, not all of them, many of them, they see some beauty. And they cannot deny it. They see that beauty all over the world, all over the place. Now, Vasudev here in this verse is, interestingly, having a dual realization of Krishna. He's able to see Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but his Vatsalya Rasa feelings are also overwhelming him to see Krishna as a baby. He's having that dual, simultaneous vision of the Lord. He's seen as a baby, you know, who's being born, and yet he sees this birthless Supreme Personality of Godhead at the same time. This is very important because, as Prabhupada explains at the end of the purport, that the devotees, we should follow in the footsteps of Vasudev. We should follow in the footsteps of a devotee who is already connected in Krishna's Leela. Yesterday we were discussing that, you know, what's the position of Vasudev, you know, what kind of level of devotional service he had attained. And we were comparing to, you know, higher rasas in Vrindavan. But actually, to the devotees engaged in leelas with Krishna, not only for the pleasure of Krishna, but also for the advancement of the devotees themselves. Why would this pastime of Vasudeva and Krishna being born be manifested in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam if it is not for our own benefit? The people, the devotees who will listen to the Bhagavatam today, who are listening today, and who will be listening in the future. This is exclusively for the benefit of the devotees. And so it may appear that Vasudeva had some kind of confusion, that he's seeing Krishna as the Supreme Lord, and yet he's seen as a baby, and back and forth, back and forth. And so some kind of confusion, some kind of mixing of rasas, but that's not the case. That is simply to emphasize the fact that Krishna, in whatever manifestation he decides to appear, whether it's a baby, whether it's Matsya or Narsimha or Varaha, or whatever other manifestation or incarnation that Krishna decides to appear, he still remains as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is very important because many people, even in this world today, they think that Krishna is a mythological personality. Because how can an ordinary person be born like this? And so the gist of the whole thing here is that we should understand that Krishna is always the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada will always stress this understanding all over his purports. He also makes a statement about Krishna's childhood when he kills Putana. Prabhupada emphasizes that even though Krishna was a baby, suckling the breast of Putana, he still acted as the Supreme Personality of God, even though he looked like a baby. To the gopis, Krishna looked like a helpless baby, you know, nursing from the chest of Putana. But from Krishna's point of view, Krishna was still the Supreme Personality of God. He himself manifested like that. So when he actually suckled the breast milk from Putana, he also killed her, just to make the point that he is the Supreme Lord at any level of his manifestation. So, then Prabhupada again quotes this verse from the Brahma Samhita, Yashaika Nishrasita Kalamata Valambya Jivanti Loma Vilaja Jagadandanata Vishnur Mahan Saiha Yasya Kalavisheshu Govindam Mali Purushan Tamaham Vajani. This is a very specific corroboration that Vishnu, the manifestations of Vishnu, are also tied to Govinda. They are related to Govinda, to the Supreme Personality of God. So thus we know in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, it is explained how the different manifestations of Vaikuntha, the Vishnus in Vaikuntha, are coming from the original Govinda. First is Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyuman, Aniruddha, the first quadruple expansion. And from this quadruple expansions which manifest the transcendental world, the Vaikuntha realm, at the very end, you find in the descriptions of the Bhagavatam, this second canto, how the cosmic manifestation is also manifested from this expansion of Lord Krishna, the original Krishna. And thus Mahavishnu appears in the Mahatattva. Prabhupada explains that this Mahatattva, this cosmic manifestation of the so-called material world, looks like a dark cloud from Vaikuntha. Just like right now, if you go out and look up in the sky, you see some clouds. You can differentiate the clouds from the sky. So similarly, when you are in Vaikuntha, and you look up, when you are in the Vaikuntha planet, and you start looking up, you're going to see a dark cloud. And that dark cloud, that's a cosmic manifestation. And in that dark cloud that you're able to see, because somebody who is in that dark cloud cannot see that cloud. So you are able pretty much to see Mahavishnu, because the light of that dark cloud is actually Mahavishnu, is sustained by Mahavishnu. And then each and every tiny little droplet in that dark cloud is a universe. And in that you see Garbhakasaya Vishnu. Like that. In fact, it is said in the Rig Veda. In the Rig Veda, the Brahmanas are able to develop this vision. It is described there that Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashanti Surayo Divivak Shakshur Atatum Tadi Praso Vipanjalo Yagriman Sat Samindater Vishnu Yat Paramam Padam. One of the peculiar attributes of the Brahmins is that they're able to have this vision of Lord Vishnu. They're always seeing Lord Vishnu that way. They're able to see the abode of Lord Vishnu. And they're able to see the presence of Lord Vishnu. Always. So it is explained like that, that this cosmic manifestation it's so inconceivable in many ways. Now imagine if you are trapped in those little droplets, in those tiny little universes, and in this within tiny little universe, you're trapped in a tiny little planet, and you still can challenge Krishna. That's what the materialistic people are doing. They're so trapped, they are so insignificant, that they demand to see God, and they're trapped in a tiny little speck of a tiny little droplet of the cosmic manifestation. They want to see God right now. I don't see God, therefore God doesn't exist. I want to see Him now. If you want to see Krishna, if you want to see God, you have to get to Vaikuntha. And then you can look it up, and then, okay, there's God right there. Mahavishnu. God Vakasaya Vishnu. But of course, he just explained in this verse, and Prabhupada translates here that because God, Shridhara Kashaya Vishnu, manifests himself in each and every atom of the cosmic manifestation at once and at the same time. It is not that by Krishna manifesting himself all over the creation, Krishna loses his identity. This is another inconceivable understanding, that unless and until one becomes a devotee of Krishna, one cannot figure this out. This is explained also in the Sri Upanishad. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashati. That from the complete totality of being, which is Krishna, comes many little totalities. But these totalities are complete in themselves. Om Purnamada Purnamidam. From the complete Purnam come different Purnams. Purna Purnamudashate. Purnasya Purnamadaya. And even though so many complete units emanate from him, Purnameva Vashishate. Krishna remains Krishna. The very same Krishna. It is not that Krishna is diminished. This is the inconceivable potency of Krishna. The inconceivable potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that cannot be understood unless one is a devotee of Krishna. I mean, how else can you understand? I mean, even in the beginning, most of us in the beginning, when we heard about Krishna consciousness, the Krishna consciousness movement, we felt attracted to the movement for different reasons, different ways. But it's only after a while that you start digesting this transcendental knowledge, and after a while of practicing Krishna consciousness, that the things begin to sink in until you understand it. In the beginning, at least for myself, I remember I used to read the things and it didn't make sense. How could that be? But as time goes by, as the senses become purified, as the intelligence becomes purified, the minds becomes purified by the practice of devotional service, Krishna begins to reveal new things. And it begins to sink into the consciousness. Yeah, this is the way it is. So, Vasudev here simply is pointing out that even though Lord Krishna is so opulent in his manifestations, and even though he is so inconceivable, yet he is right there in front of him like a baby, in the form of a baby. And so Vasudev was expressing these feelings of appreciation for the Lord, because as we know, the first thing that the pure devotees do is they begin to appreciate the Lord, and that they come out as prayers. The appreciation of the devotees for the attributes of Krishna, they become prayers. But they do that out of love, not out of fear or out of something else. It's out of love that you begin. It's just like when you're a father or a mother and you begin to appreciate your child. You start talking in different ways that you wouldn't talk to an adult. That's out of love. So similarly, the pure devotees, when they see Krishna, when they enter into these leelas with the Lord, they feel this appreciation and this love, and they compose prayers automatically and beautifully from within the heart. But yet, Vasudev was, not only was he expressing that, but he was also confirming the status of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada, in his purport, he opens up the purport by saying, by enumerating how all the different energies of the Lord are manifested. Like he quotes the Bhagavad Gita here, Bhumira Pona Lovayu. All these different elements. In fact, in that purport of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, in the purport to the first Brahma Sanhita verse of Prabhupada quotes, he explains that actually when Shridhara Kashaya Vishnu enters in each and every element of the universe, of each and every universe, he says that the potencies are in his entirety. It is the whole potency of Krishna is there. So imagine that. Imagine each and every atom of this material world contains the potency of Krishna himself.
This is why this material world has a value. The so-called material world is only material to somebody who does not understand Krishna. But actually, when we purified our perception, we can see that this material world is not at all material. It is actually spiritual. It's just the way it is. It acts in its own way by the indication of the Supreme Lord. These bodies that we have are composed of atoms, molecules. These bodies themselves are energy manifested by the Lord Himself. They are not material. They simply act and react in the way they are meant to do that. Srila Prabhupada used to say that Krishna's energies can act in any way Krishna wants. Just like, and Prabhupada gave the example of electricity. He said, just like electricity, you can make it act like a heating energy or a cooling energy. They seem to be opposite. When you're cooling, it's different from when you're heating. But it's the same energy, the same electricity. Similarly, Prabhupada explained that Krishna has that ability to turn the switch, so to speak. Material energy or spiritual energy. He just turns the switch. And why is that? Because Krishna has penetrated the whole world. He percolates the whole creation. So that's why everywhere you see, it's all consciousness. Things are growing, things are moving, things are reacting, combining, creating other things. Otherwise, how can you explain it? It is all the manifestation of the energy of the Lord. It has life only because of the presence of the Lord. So it is in this sense that the so-called material world doesn't exist. The material world only exists in our minds. In a contaminated mind, we think that the material world is a material world. And what is that distinction of the material attribute of our perception is that we don't see Krishna. We don't see Vishnu. That's what makes it material. But as soon as we perceive Vishnu, as soon as we perceive Krishna, then we see the true nature of things. It's just like also Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, after this shloka, the Prabhupada quotes here, tadahi pranipatina. Right, the very next shloka, Krishna says, yakshnatvana punarmoham evam yasasi pandava yena bhutani yasheshani drakshasi atmani yathomai. He says that the first symptom of a person who has acquired knowledge from the Tattvadarshis is the very first thing that he realizes is that all living beings are mine. Krishna says that. Yakshnatva na punar moham. When that illusion is gone, this material illusion, this illusion of thinking that everything is material, when that is gone, the first thing you see is that each and every living being is a manifestation of Krishna, that they belong to Krishna. Yena bhutani yakshesani drakshasi atmani atomai. You see, you are able to see that. And then from that, you move on to not only living beings, but everything in the universe, as it's explained in this purport here. Then you begin to see everything connected to the Lord. Then there is really no problem. And that is the liberation. Mother Mukhya was just reading prior to this class how Prabhupada was explaining this liberating effect of Krishna consciousness in his own disciples. You see no problem anymore. Death is not a problem anymore. Old age is not a problem anymore. The different miseries caused by other living beings are not a problem anymore. All the three types of miseries that all otherwise would be very important in people's lives. In the life of a devotee, these miseries are no longer existing. So that's called the liberation. When you're liberated, it's not that like the Mayavada thing, that everything is destroyed. There's no existence anymore. Or there is existence, but there is no conscious existence. The liberation of the materialistic, of the Mayavadis, is a liberation in which, even though there is existence, but there is no consciousness. Whereas the liberation of the devotees is one step further. There is still existence, but there is, it's full of consciousness. But it's purified consciousness. It's not material consciousness. The Mayavada thinks that by eliminating material consciousness, you're liberated. But it's the other way around. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy is that it's by cleansing this consciousness of the dirt of the material illusion, is that consciousness can shine by itself. That is liberation. That shining of the consciousness, it simply means that one is able to perceive the presence of the Lord all over the place, everywhere, in life and death, victory or defeat, like Krishna explained so many times in the Bhagavad Gita, whether profit or loss, victory or defeat, pleasure and pain, happiness or unhappiness, the same thing. Because these dualities are perceivable only when one is contaminated. Anyway, we'll just stop here. Any questions or comments? Review approval.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class. That last statement, I'm just confused about that. I never thought that the Mayavadis or the impersonalists, their liberation, there's no consciousness. I thought they were just conscious of existence. I exist. They're kind of just of the white light, but no varieties. That's what I understood about it.
Actually, they'd even eliminate the I. Because what they are saying, they merge into Brahman. They eliminate the individuality altogether. And so by doing that, they are eliminating personal consciousness. In other words, you don't perceive anything anymore. You don't perceive beauty, no personality, no dealings, no relationships. It's like, what would you call a person who is not able to see, hear, talk, speak, have relationship, have friendship? How do you call that? You know, in that sense, it is lack of consciousness. It's like a vegetable. It's like when you have somebody in the hospital with tubes all over the place. You know, it's just, there's no relationship, no loving emotion, nothing. It's just right there, lump of matter. So the Mayavadi understanding is, you know, you eliminate relationships, you eliminate consciousness. Because otherwise how consciousness is manifested if you're not in Sakshidananda. Right, it's very contradictory, and Prabhupada used to say this. There is one incident which Jayadvaita Swami once told Prabhupada, you know, I'm reading this Mayavadi stuff, I can't figure it out. Because some statements are contradictory to other statements, like that one you just quoted, Brahmananda. How come there is bliss in this liberation? There is bliss in liberation, but that contradicts the prior understanding of saying there is no individuality. The individuality is gone. So how can somebody or something that is not individual perceive bliss? You see what I mean? It's very contradictory. Yes.
Can't ever forget that the Mayavadi philosophy itself is made up. So it's full of contradiction in so many ways. That's one contradiction. There are many other contradictions in the Mayavadi philosophy because it's made up. And it's word jugglery. So you're going to find that. As you dig deeper and deeper, you're going to see, this doesn't make sense. This makes sense. This doesn't make sense.
Peru, Tarika.
So when you're speaking about the material world as actually in one sense being different from the spiritual world, I was a little taken back in the sense, because I know it in the books, it's the energies of the Lord are categorized like as superior, marginal, and inferior. So the inferior energy is what is called matter, see, and that seems to be different from the marginal energy and the superior energy.
What's your point?
So I'm wondering, well, how it's like, in one sense, spiritual? I mean,
okay, first of all, it's not my understanding. It's Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's. When he gives a purport to this verse, he actually says that. Actually, even in the translation, he says that Govinda is the undifferentiated entity. And he explains that word undifferentiated by saying that the energy and the possessor of the energy are non-different. Now, we may be confused sometimes by using terminology in English like matter, the word matter, right? But actually, we use that only because we are coming from a polluted understanding to a liberated understanding. When we are polluted in our understanding, we have to start categorizing things. Because that's the nature of the mind. That's the nature of the reasoning. That's the nature of intelligence. You begin to categorize things. And one thing is we use that as a stepping stone to a higher understanding. And that higher understanding is that in ultimate analysis, nothing is material. The only material thing is there is the illusion to think that nothing is connected to Vishnu. That is material. There is no matter per se. This wood here is not matter if you have the higher understanding. But if you have the polluted understanding, yeah, scientists will come here and will tell you, you know, what's the components of this piece of wood and blah, blah, blah. But in the understanding of a transcendental personality, of a person who is able to see the presence of the Lord Vishnu, who is able to understand the imports of these verses, they can understand that actually soul manifestation of Krishna's energy.
So then the Vaikuntha planets and the material planets are really like non-different.
Yes. In a higher sense, yes. Prabhu. Okay, Prabhu, Madan Mohan.
Just a quick one is that I was just reading last night where Prabhupada said that the impersonals, their liberation, merge, they take their next body as a tree or a stone. And he says that that way they actually merge into the energy, which is non-different, external, internal, as you're pointing out. They merge into this, and they take a body of a tree. And how much consciousness would we say a tree has, or a stone has? Just something practical.
Well, different manifestations for consciousness, yeah. Prabhu Prangavinda.
A couple of points. Brahmananda does exist and soul cannot be destroyed. Prabhupada mentioned many times, even Bhagavad Gita's second chapter.
Right.
So if we think the soul is finished, it's not true. Maybe when Ramananda Roy was asked by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the bhukti mukti kaha duhar goti, the people who are want to enjoy this dull matter and wants to out of dull matter, where their destiny? Mahaprabhu explained. This is in Madhulila 8, chapter 257. In the purport even Prabhupada put, that those jnani who wants to, did not develop love, but wants to get out some process of their knowledge acquiring, that they are placed into this rock or tree body. But their existence is never lost.
Right.
They never lose their consciousness. Consciousness is the eternal quality of conscious being. So it cannot be lost. But it can be covered by Maya's potency
of
Sajidya Mukti. But it is never lost.
Right.
That's one thing. Another thing is that Brahmananda does exist. Because those verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita, even Bhagavatam Prabhupada put in Prahlada Maharaj's head, Brahmananda bhavedesya cheto prarada gunakrita noivam bhakti sukam bhute paramanya tulamopi. All these verses he quote in Bhagavatam Prabhupada. That how important is Brahmananda, and compared to Brahmananda, trillion times multiply cannot be a little particle of Sevananda, or serving to the Lord.
Right.
So these are the comparison, one thing. Another thing is that there is an eternal difference between the material world and spiritual world. In chapter 4, Bhagavad Gita 24, Prabhupada particularly put in the purport, the Brahmarpana, this is a five Brahman, that this in this cosmic manifestation is created by illusion covered part of the absolute.
Yeah. However, we have to realize that, again, if we are understanding things from a polluted standpoint, we all began Krishna consciousness in a polluted type of existence. So we have to categorize. In fact, Lord Krishna categorized the things in the Bhagavad Gita. He begins to tell it, hey, you know, first is A, B, C, then there is D, E, F. And so, in order for the polluted mind, the polluted intelligence, to be able to come to the understanding of Mahavishnu, Garbhakasya Vishnu, Shidrakasya Vishnu, and on top of that, Krishna, Govinda, we have to start from point A. So matter in reality, it only has value because Krishna has entered matter. So the matter cannot exist without connection to Krishna. That's the whole purpose of this verse. Ekopya so rachayatum jagadanda kotim. Matter is really, it's only a category of words. It's actually the energy of the Lord. And as soon as we realize this is an energy in the Lord, who owns this? As soon as we know who's the owner, then that so-called matter is gone. Because then that can be used in devotional service. That is the understanding of Srila Rupa Goswami also. Why are the Jiva Muktas engaged with so-called matter? Because they realize that it's not matter. They realize that there's an owner to these things, and that is Vishnu. And therefore they sacrifice everything, so-called matter, in the devotional service of Vishnu, devotional service of Krishna. It is only a polluted person who keeps not seeing God that can engage in enjoying matter. But a devotee does not engage in enjoying matter. A devotee, immediately, naturally, he engages everything in the service of the Lord. It's actually the vision that is matter or not matter.
But in that chapter 4, Prabhu 24, matter is the reality. It's a temporary reality. Prabhupada clearly says this, that when the part of absolute is covered by illusion, it is matter. And the spirit is, when the conscious reality manifests in the matter, it's called Brahman.
Yeah, but from the eyes, from the standpoint of Vishnu, there is no matter.
No, I'm talking about...
No, but try to understand this. The Prabhupada said is he's talking to an audience that has polluted intelligence. Us. And so Prabhupada has to differentiate. For the polluted intelligence, he has to differentiate. This is what we call matter. But in reality, down the road, when Prabhupada begins to do his purpose on the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Satamrita, you start seeing that Prabhupada actually, it doesn't contradict himself. What he does, he gives a higher understanding of what so-called matter is.
No, I know, I'm not saying it's contradict. Actually, in Bhagavatam, Lord himself revealed this to Brahmaji, that both exist. One is temporary reality, one is eternal reality. That's why he quote this verse, one of the main four verses. Jata mahanti bhutani bhuteshu uccha avasteshu anu pravishtani aprovishtani tathateshu nateshu aham. I entered at the same time I don't enter. Both are right.
Yeah.
How is it that when a soul bows down to me, wants to offer something, the matter, the maya has a three form. Srila Prabhupada explained very nicely in the second canto that pradhan is reality. Vidya also reality, but avidya is not reality, it's temporary.
Yeah.
So perception of avidya cannot be offered to God, there he does not enter into element. When the devotee bow down and offer something to Lord, then he enters and takes it. So that distinction is there eternally.
That's why
he enters at the same time, don't
fine,
enter.
Fine, but if you look at this piece of wood here, this form, right? Because you're a devotee, you can understand that this is actually a manifestation of the Lord's energy. But if you bring a person from the street and looks at this, his understanding will be different. When Krishna looks at this, Krishna sees his own energy. When a polluted person looks at this, he sees no God connected. When you look at this, you see God connected. So the so-called matter, that becomes truth, the mental understanding or the mental idea of matter, it's only helpful for somebody who is polluted. Once you are free from that pollution, you don't see matter anymore.
That's true, but Maya does exist. That's my point.
No, illusion does exist,
yes.
Yeah.
So that we have to recognize.
Yeah, well, that was not the issue. The ladies want to have any questions or comments? Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.